states are working around the clock to get their budgets in order.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. States across the country are being filleted by the tough economy. A lot of state budgets are coming up way short. And Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is with us live from Washington to talk about those budget shortfalls. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Steve.
How are states coping with those shortfalls?
Well, when the economy is sluggish like it is now, the states take in less money from taxes. People and businesses are making less money, so they pay less in state taxes. At the same time, Steve, demands for services and benefits like unemployment goes up. Some states like Connecticut and Hawaii are coping pretty well. They're cutting spending and raising revenue like taxes. Nick Johnson is with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. He says other states will only consider budget cuts. Taxes are off the table.
And that makes it really hard to balance a budget, really hard to come to agreement, and sets you up for these showdowns between the legislature and the governor that bring us to the end of the fiscal year in this kind of situation.
So what are those states doing, Nancy? How are they resolving the showdowns, as he says?
Yeah. Well, some of them are getting pretty creative. Take New Jersey. Johnson says the New Jersey governor, Chris Christie, has pretty much ruled out tax increases or closing tax loopholes. So the state has decided to do what you or I would do, Steve, go to the bank for a loan. Reported the loan is going to be with J.P. Morgan. This is an unusual approach, though, for a state. They usually borrow money by issuing bonds. But that can be complicated. It can take months. Bank loans are quicker, although they are expensive with pretty high interest rates. Now, Steve, your state, California, wants to balance its budget using very optimistic projections for future tax revenues. So we'll see how that works. Good luck with that.
All right. Indeed, we will. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer. Nancy, thank you. As Nancy mentioned, California's Governor Jerry Brown and a majority of Democrats in the state assembly have agreed on a budget that could be voted on as early as today. The budget math relies heavily on a stronger economy and perhaps as much as $4 billion in extra income over the next year. Well, Bob Ward is an expert on state budgets and deputy director of the Rockefeller Institute. He's with us now. Good morning.
It's good to be with you.
All right. What do you think about this plan in California?
Well, this is something of a step forward for California in terms of honest budgeting. If the extra revenue that's included in the package does not arrive, there is a plan to deal with that by cutting spending. But I think overall it's fair to say this is still a mix of muddling through, responding to crisis, cutting services for people who need them, and pushing costs into the future.
They're depending on these rosy numbers, though. I mean, what happens if they don't materialize?
Well, the governor and the leaders say they are willing to have the state automatically make some pretty significant spending cuts to education and other services. And I suppose from their perspective, it's better to have at least some possibility of those expenditures going forward if the new revenue does come in. So it's sort of a compromise in terms of do we cut now or do we cut later?
It sounds a lot like, Bob, kicking the can down the road, though, right?
Kicking the can down the road, I think, applies to affirmatively pushing costs into future years and onto future taxpayers. And there is some of that in this budget as well. I would be less concerned about, you know, we're going to plug in some spending, hope it materializes, and a few months later, bite the bullet if we have to. So, you know, budgets are written for the course of a full year. If they have to make some changes later in the same year, I don't see that as a big problem.
Well, we'll have you back next year and see what we find out. Bob Ward, Deputy Director at the Rockefeller Institute. Bob, thanks.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now, average of 1% or so. We've got the Dow up about just under 1%, 111 points at 12,154. Consumer confidence is down this month, but a handful of major cities saw home prices rise. According to the latest S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index, Washington, San Francisco, Atlanta, and Seattle saw the biggest price increases because of spring buying.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success, on the web at farmers.com.
There's a hearing today over the Food and Drug Administration's rules in conditionally approving medications. It's centered on drug maker Roche, which got early approval to market its drug Avastin to treat breast cancer. But the FDA withdrew that approval, and Roche is challenging that decision. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner explains.
The so-called Accelerated Approval Program at the FDA first came out of the debate over access to experimental drugs for HIV/AIDS. The idea was the agency should move quickly to grant approval for drugs where lives were at stake, even before all the evidence was in.
The whole point of a provisional approval is that it can be rolled back if it turns out that the drug does not perform as first expected.
Karuna Jagger of the advocacy group Breast Cancer Action says the FDA did just that. It provisionally approved the drug Avastin for late-stage breast cancer in 2008, but the agency rolled it back when later tests showed that the drug did not increase overall survival and had potentially fatal side effects. Roche makes $1 billion a year from Avastin's use in breast cancer. It appealed the FDA decision. Harvard professor Daniel Carpenter says all that political pressure has many scientists worried.
People are worried that once you grant provisional approval, it's increasingly difficult, if not impossible, to reverse.
He says that if the FDA loses this fight, it may make it harder for future drugs to get accelerated approval in the first place. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
And finally, conventional wisdom tells us when the economy's in the dumps, people steal more stuff, right? So the National Retail Federation's new report showing shoplifting on the rise could be construed as bad news. Nope. As retail thinking goes, it's good news because a lot of those shoplifters are store employees. Here's the rationale. Employees are taking more chances to steal things because they don't fear for their jobs as much. All hail the recovery. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Have a hard time letting go of your dream to play in the majors? Well, this might make it easier.
The person who plays baseball is making about 40% less on average than the person who decides not to play baseball and who just wanted a regular career.
I'm Tess Vigeland, the Freakonomics Upside of Quitting, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.